Wait. Okay, go.
Welcome once again to another episode of Comrades, a weekly discussion about the FX series, The Americans. My name is Scott Malkus. I'm the TV editor of PopDust.com. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Jeffrey Marsick. Jeff, how are you?
I am all right.
Very good.
But this is going to be an interesting podcast because before we started, Scott said that he hasn't had lunch yet. So if he passes out during this podcast, it's from low blood sugar.
If I start to mumble off like this, that's because I'm really hungry, people.
If he goes Bill Murray on us, that's why.
Yeah, you shouldn't have had all that cough syrup. I'm sorry. All right, we're here. It's another wonderful episode of The Americans.
The second to last episode of this season.
You know what they call that, don't you?
Yeah, penultimate.
Ah, darn it, you took my big word out of my mouth. You took the big word right out of my mouth.
But I had, I don't know if I want to talk about, no, I won't talk about it now. Because there was it was in the previews for next week, the season finale, where you're just like, holy crap.
The thing I liked about that preview is that we, for the first time, saw Philip talking to someone from the center.
Yeah.
He's talking with Arcady. I was like, oh, the dude playing Arcady's like, I started as just a minor role and with two lines in the first episode, and now I'm a major player in this series. And I love it.
Yeah.
What's his name? Len?
Lev Gorn.
Lev. Sorry, Lev. What do you think Lev is short for? I can't imagine you just name your son Lev. Leviticus?
I don't know. Maybe you do name him Lev. Remember that book we read in high school? My name is Asher Lev.
Oh. Yeah, but that's the last name is Lev.
That's true.
I never read that book. But I do remember people reading it, including you.
Yeah, I read that book, and I didn't like it at all. And I remember being at a buddy's wedding, and his family sit around a table, and they're from North Olmsted, too. And we were talking about high school. And talk about teachers, and I said, oh, do you remember that book? My name is Asher Lev. I hated that book. That book stunk. And everybody at the table loved it.
And everyone at the table said, oh, it's funny you say that this person wrote this book.
that would have been worse.
Let's dive right in, shall we, Jeff? I do apologize that I don't have notes. It's been a busy week for me. Another busy week, as you all know.
Why has it been busy for you, Scott?
Because I've been prepping this book that I'm publishing online on popdose.com, three chapters a week. It's been kind of crazy. Last week was the big build-up. It went live today, so I guess not today when you're listening to this, but this week when you're listening to it, the week of the 19th of May. So it's been a little crazy. So I apologize to all of you, my faithful listeners.
And it's published online where, Scott?
Oh, at popdose.com. Thank you very much for asking.
And it's called, the title is?
It's called Legendary. It's a book set in the 1980s in a small suburb of Cleveland. It all takes place in the course of one day. It's told through the voices of the three main
characters. Wait, what? All right. Do the synopsis again, because my computer crapped out on me again.
The synopsis is it takes place in the year 1987 over the course of a single summer day. It's a kind of a love story, a love triangle between two girls and a guy.
Ooh, spicy.
It's spicy. I think that it would appeal to anyone who liked The Fault of Our Stars. Is that the John Green book? I might be saying the title wrong. Boy, that's embarrassing.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Thank you. Fault in Our Stars. I'm reading it now. Just started reading it.
But if there's a triangle, maybe Dynasty lovers, too, might like it. Falcon Crest.
Maybe fans of the Goldbergs will like it.
Don't be dissing the Goldbergs,
man. I'm not dissing the Goldbergs. I know you love that show. I'm saying that fans of that show might like it. I tried to incorporate 80s stuff and not make it seem kitschy, and there's music, and there's a piece of artwork with every single chapter.
Well, that's the thing that's unique about it is that you're serializing it, but you've got MP3s in there of there's music associated with it. There's original artwork by a bunch of different people. So
yeah,
this a unique interactive experience.
It is. And I'm trying, you know, there are links attached and I think I'm going to try to divulge backstory stuff as the week go on. I'll do that in my, there's a Tumblr page I don't know. It's just interesting. The next 12 weeks are going to be kind of crazy. I felt up until Sunday, I felt like, hey, it's all done. It's just going to go up. And then today I had another idea. I was like, oh, that'd be fun. No, stop doing that. That's more taking yourself away from other things. But it is a commitment. It's a marketing thing. It's crazy when you do stuff like this. It's like the podcast. You do a podcast and you have to market it yourself. There's no budget for it. There's nobody out there. I mean, not that the folks at Southgate don't do a great job and, publicize that, but, they're working for free too. It's a, we're all just kind of doing it for our love of talking about these shows and talking about stuff and getting together and just, BS. And then hopefully people enjoy listening to us because we're idiots.
Yes, we love hearing the sound of our own voice.
We do. The good thing about this recording is I don't hear my voice. I only hear yours, Joe. So.
Well, that's funny because I only hear yours because I have to turn the reverb off in my ear. So I turn my earphones off. So I only hear you.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's like a real radio show. An old-timey radio show. And then the door opened. And in walked the man. Clip, clip, clip. Okay, we'll stop doing old-timey radio and get talking about this week's episode of The Americans, which was, as Jeff said, the penultimate episode of this season. And, of course, there will be a season 3, which is great news. And I thought this was a great episode. I thought this was one of the best ones of the season. I felt that it was tightly written, really well acted, nicely directed. I mean, it was written by the show creator, Joe Weiss, and his cohort, the showrunner. Stop recording now, please. I have no idea, right?
All right, starting over now.
Where are we starting? This week's episode. Okay.
Didn't you just say that we were idiots, a couple of idiots?
Oh, God. Anyway, this week's episode was really tightly wound episode, I would say. It was one of the best ones of the season so far. Would you agree, Jeff?
Absolutely. I thought it was really they really ramped it up going into the season finale. I just got one word, Larrick.
Larrick is so awesome.
He is beyond awesome.
I mean, he is next week's the season finale and my biggest fear is that he's going to die. That is my fear.
God, I hope not, man.
Because he's become such a cool, I mean, I just want a guy like that out there that it's done a rampage to kill all Russians. Oh. I mean, not one Russians. I mean, just the people in the show. I'm sorry. Anybody who's a Russian, I don't want this guy out there. Sorry.
No, but they've just done so well with him that he's,
And I wonder if that was the intention when they went into it. You know, I wonder if they were like, "Oh, let's get some guy to play this role, and we'll make him to kind of this criminal." You know, I wonder how that works on a show that only has 13 episodes like this. You know, when you have to go into it so planned out before shooting, and I wonder how much I do wonder because it's like on those 22 episode shows, like let's say Lost. And, halfway through the season, I use Michael Emerson all the time, but that was a guy who was only supposed to be on he was only supposed to be on for like a couple episodes, and then they discovered that he was so great that they started writing him into later episodes. I wonder how much that happens on a show like this, which is like we only have 13 episodes. We have to have this thing mapped out before we go into production,
That would have been a cool question to ask if you had an interview with those guys.
Well, yeah, if I'd known that there'd be a character like Larrick. On this, why are you laughing? Because I forgot the guy's name?
No, because I know that you interviewed the guys, and you could ask that question.
It is an interesting question, don't you think?
It is. No, absolutely.
Because we, like I said before, like Lev Gorn, he was this tiny character. I wonder, he's kind of become an important character in this show. But I'm sure when they cast him originally, he's like, he's that second in command at the center, But,
right.
Who knew that Larrick would – I mean, I wonder if they went into, like, the second or third time they were working with Lee Tergesen as Larrick, and they go, oh, we got to change the ending of this. He was originally going to die, but now he can't, We have to have him become – I mean, he's so great.
He just hit 10 on the awesome scale, so we're going to have to keep him.
Yeah, he just adds his element to it that even if he's not in every episode, just the fact that if he's still alive and out there is exciting.
Yeah.
That he could pop up at any time. And that's what is exciting to me. And you know what? I'm still not convinced that he killed Emmett and his wife. I'm not convinced. Leanne, yes. I must apologize again. I'm flying solo, no notes again. I'm the worst. I'm just going to admit it, okay? Jeff is the organized one. I'm flying by the seat of my pants all the time.
Scott just doesn't like working with a net.
It's not true. But in this situation, it's just like, oh, it's lunchtime and I haven't eaten. Okay, let's go talk. I'm not convinced that he killed them. I'm really not convinced that he's.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I keep going back to that. We both go back to that original meeting when he meets Philip and Elizabeth, and they confront him, and he was like, "Yeah, I didn't kill him," but because he's definitely a guy who wouldn't BS about it. Like, if he killed him, he'd be like, "Yep, they had it coming."
And the other thing that I feel about this is, and as we saw in this episode, is his surveillance tactics are so good that he wouldn't have let the son live.
Right.
You know, he would have taken out the entire family. They all would have been taken out. So I did have a thought that perhaps maybe someone in Russia, someone in the Soviet Union took out the family. That was another theory. That was my really, like, I was really tired and staring at the ceiling. I'm like, hey, I wonder if they got taken out by their own people. But anyway, what happens in this episode? Let's see now. The big thing is that Elizabeth goes to get Jared. They're trying to follow up with Kate's message from last week to get Jared out, correct?
Yep.
And
they can't find Kate. They're pretty sure Kate's dead.
They can't find Kate. They're pretty sure Kate's dead. Nobody can find Larrick.
They can't find George either, who was the call system guy.
George, yes. Well, does nobody think to go look where George was? Is he just, like, hidden? I mean, how does that work? Does nobody – he has no one that checks in on him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean
– doesn't he have, like, a guy that punches in after him? I mean, he can't – does he just sit there in the same clothes? I mean, who – what is, does he eat anything or just smoke cigarettes? Doesn't he get step out for a sandwich on occasion?
I don't know.
There's something wrong there. No one can find George. Well, then again, unless Larry disposed of his body like he disposed of Kate's body.
Yeah, but that's fine. But you still go over there and go, hey, George hasn't been here. I've been hanging out here for, you know, like a day.
Well, yeah, and then I go, hey, there's gunshots were fired. And
somebody blew up the
server.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a little bit of a, that's a little bit of a plot hole. But after seeing Spider-Man 2, I think the plot hole is like that. I'll accept it.
There were a lot of cool things that happened in this episode. I mean, there were a lot of things that. One of my favorite things was, you know,
name one, Jeff.
Okay, one of them was throughout the season. Well, two seasons now, the thread of disbelief has been stretched like way past its physiological limits. Right, when it deals with Martha and Clark. And we keep saying, well, you know, we keep going back to the old, what they talked about, the spy wives back in the day and right. How they were duped and blah, blah, blah. But this week, you know, when she mentions his toupee,
oh,
he looks
God.
At her like, you knew about that? And she was like, well, yeah. Now, like, they've redeemed Martha. Like, they've brought her back and now
it's... She's become cool.
Yeah,
you know,
now
that
she's
little throwaway line from a few weeks ago where she says, look at these files or somebody's just going to take them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a nice little thing to plant that was great because, you know, it just almost seemed like a throwaway back then, but they were setting it up for her to bring home. And I love that Clark is concerned. I mean, it's like Philip was really concerned for her safety.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, he was like, what did you do? You know, like continues for me to drive home this idea that he really cares for her.
I want to take the other side of that argument, and I'm going to say that his concern was that if something happens to her, she's so embedded in there and she's such a good source of intel that if she gets in trouble, then he loses that inside track.
I would I would have agreed with that at the beginning of the season, but I feel like it's, as this season has progressed and his he's gone through this kind of emotional arc with how the killing is and what he does is affecting other people, you know. I think I would agree with that at the beginning of the season, but now I feel like he's starting to see the effects of what his job is doing on innocent bystanders. And for all intents and purposes, you know, Martha is an innocent bystander. He's manipulated her into doing something illegal. It's not just taking a pen and putting it in the office.
Right.
She has stolen government files.
Right.
You know, so I think it's twofold. I think you're right. I think you're right. He's like, whoa, if you get in trouble, we're in trouble. But I also think that he does actually care about her. Not enough to want to have children with her, but, you know.
Right. No, clearly not that.
that's
although I don't know if we needed to see what do they used to call it, Staten Island Whitesnake or Long Island Whitesnake get pulled off.
What? Oh my God. I was shocked that they showed a condom coming out of
it. Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah, I didn't need
that.
Oh
my goodness. I guess that was to drive home the point that he didn't want to have kids.
Yeah. Or that they're safe, or I don't know, whatever. But I didn't need to see that.
Yeah, that was okay. Moving on.
No, so I like that the whole the toupee thing with.
Yeah, that was good. That was nice because that is something that kind of just seems to be, you like you said the believability factor kind of gets stretched. Although that this it's like all this stuff that happens in the background, like the believability factor of Jared just jumping in the car with Elizabeth. That to me, I was like, what? Didn't you go to school? Stranger danger? Didn't they have that?
Yeah, why the heck did give them the code.
Oh, that's true. The code. I forgot.
The Red Robin flies at night with a burka.
Up here, up here. Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. Three Amigos. Gotta love it. So, yeah, Jared and Elizabeth went on that little adventure, but I felt like Elizabeth kind of dropped the ball. Because didn't she think that Larrick would have been looking for Jared? Which he was, you know? He was all over it.
Yeah, I mean, he had... clearly, he's been in Jared's house because he put the bug in the backpack. And then...
Oh, that's how he did that.
I mean, I think they still think that Larrick was down in Nicaragua.
You know, I like that Larrick has principles. See, another reason why I don't think he killed Jared's parents. Because if he snuck into that house to put that thing in a backpack, if he really wanted them dead, he would have taken them out.
That's a good point. So how did he get the backpack to put the bug in?
I think what you just said. I think he probably snuck in and did something with the backpack, which leads me to believe that.
So what's he do? But he's trailing the kid. He's trailing Jared because he's looking.
He wants Philip and Elizabeth.
So he's backtracking, back channeling to them. Huh.
And although now at the end of this episode, he's still following Jared.
Right.
Is he following Jared?
Because he thinks that she's Jared, still with...
Oh, he's going to use Jared as a hostage. He wants Jared so that he can go after Philip and Elizabeth, and he's going to use the kid as a hostage. Because the kid's not going to know anything. Who are these people that set you up? I don't know. They just gave me the Red Robin flies at night and jump in the car with this lady with a bad 80s wig and big glasses. Which this episode was obviously written as a two-parter because it just kind of fades out at the end.
I mean, to get from so Larrick found the bus station, the bus terminal,
right?
How he's going to get to the cabin in the woods, and you know, into a Joss Whedon movie. But how is he going to get to the cabin in the woods?
Well, if it was a Joss Whedon movie, he'd just find a way there and we wouldn't have to explain it.
That's right.
Because it'd be a big Marvel movie.
So I don't know how he's going to get to that cabin up there in the woods. That's going to be some serious stalking on his...
Well, he's a Navy SEAL, dude. Come on, Navy SEALs found Osama bin Laden. You don't think one Navy SEAL can't find a Russian woman living in a cabin in the woods?
All right.
Come on, man.
Dude, it was Jessica Chastain. It was all her work who found...
I think that Jason Clark had a little bit to do with that.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit? Come on. Okay. We're going off on tangents here that just aren't working today. We're not on our game right now. No. I apologize.
We need Snickers.
Right. Can I find a Snickers? I don't have any. Okay. Well, elsewhere in the episode, Paige wants to go on this retreat to protest a nuclear facility. Why do I get the feeling that something's going to happen in that?
Why do I get the feeling that her pastor is lecherous and gonna do the typical?
If they do that, I'll be so angry at the show.
I will be annoyed too because it's too cliche. It's like to be expected almost.
Yeah, and it's just like can't a pastor just be a good pastor? Can't he just be a concerned guy? Just not to be lecherous,
right?
But see, now here's the thing. I hope he's not lecherous. I do hope that he does reveal that her dad came to visit him at night, you know, with gloves on and angry, wanting to beat him up, you know.
Hmm.
And I would love to see her reaction, like, my dad could never do that. He's a travel agent, dude. He's pretty wimpy, you know.
I don't know if she would do that because she knows that they're full of crap right now. I mean, oh my gosh, there's an emergency. What, can't you deal with it from
home? Oh, yeah, that was the worst. And I liked, what we're talking about, in case you're just catching up with us. There's a moment in the beginning of the show when Elizabeth is supposed to help Paige pack for this big trip, and she doesn't. She's like, I got to go to the office. And Paige is like, really? What do you got to go to the office for? I love Paige. Paige is just like, yeah, tell me what's going to be out of the office.
Oh, because they said, a big emergency. We got to take care of it. Did a bunch of your clients go down in an airplane and die? And they look at her appalled. They're like, what? Why would you say that?
I think Philip is going to be so proud of his daughter because she's so smart and figuring it out. I mean, they're going to get found out because of her.
Well, she's already like clicked in on the phone when he was on the phone talking with Elizabeth.
Yes, that was awesome. He's so smart. She's a cool character.
I had flashbacks. That brought back flashbacks of my childhood.
You listened in on your parents' conversation?
Yep.
Wow, you had a crazy. Did you have a phone in your room?
No, but we had one in the bathroom. How weird is that? We actually had phones in the bathroom. Yeah.
Well, in case you know
when you fall and you can't get up.
In case you just can't hold it in, Jeff, and you got to go. I mean, people do it with their cell phones now. What's any different?
Hold on a second. I'm gonna do a quick count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 phones in my house. And it
right
was
now?
And it was a 1, 2, 3, it was a four-bedroom. Yep, four-bedroom.
13 phones?
13 phones.
We had three. And only one of them got used on a regular basis.
Actually, there's 14 because I forgot the basement.
We had three. We had one in the kitchen, which was the phone. My dad had one in his office, which he never used because it was his office.
And you couldn't find it.
And well, if you went in there to use the phone, everybody would know you're in there using the phone. What are you using the phone for? And it was just his office. Then there was one in their bedroom, right by their, in case of emergency, someone called. You had 14 phones.
Yep.
Good God.
Yeah.
That's insane. Wow. That's crazy. Well, Paige almost got her phone taken away.
Yeah, but the thing is that Paige knows that, like, it's just funny that she's on to her parents, that she knows they're full of crap. And when she talks to the pastor, she's like, yeah, one of them's having an affair. I think my mom's having an affair. My dad might be having an affair, too. They're just weird. They're full of crap, and I'm on to them.
She
now.
Never cries. She is bottling up every single feeling that she has inside of her.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to explode I'm telling you, man, when that girl finds out that her parents are Russian spies, she is going to freaking go nuts.
Yeah. I liked Henry's comment, too, when we walk in and we first see them sitting at the table. And what's Henry talking about? He's talking about Star Trek 2 and how it's probably going to be a disappointment. Yeah.
The best one still. Still the best one of
all. Doesn't have high hopes for Star Trek 2.
Oh, that's funny. That's one of those inside jokes that worked actually. Sometimes it's like, I'm going to use this mechanism called a fax machine where we can send stuff over the airwaves. You know, those jokes to me never work anymore.
Right.
But that one actually was kind of funny because it was like, okay, you know, everybody knows. I mean, anybody who knows the Star Trek movies realizes that that was probably the best of their first bunch of Star Trek.
Oh,
movies.
Absolutely.
And better than Star Trek Into Darkness as well.
Yeah. Talk about plot holes.
Oh, hey, did you know that those guys wrote the Amazing Spider-Man 2? Interesting. Okay, moving on. So Paige goes on her thing. Larrick's on a rampage. And then we
Elizabeth's got with Jared.
Elizabeth's hanging out with Jared. And
the thing I thought was interesting before we leave Elizabeth with Jared.
Oh yes. Are you okay? Jeff's coughing a lot though. If you can see the visual now, Jeff is looks seems to be needs. Do you need me to do the Heimlich maneuver? I can call 911.
Yeah, please don't just dial 911 because that's gonna be a whole lot of good.
Now, do they have 911 up there in the state of New England?
Yeah, they do, and they also have like this retarded pollen count too, which is I'm just getting over.
Is it spring there?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool. So the
because we are in the same hemisphere.
Well, it's like midsummer here. It's like 100 degrees.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You guys are like heat wave.
Yeah, it sucks.
Anyway, so
you were saying
what I was saying was I thought was interesting was that Elizabeth couldn't be there to help Paige pack and get ready for her
trip.
Nuclear
protest trip,
but she was there for Jared to help him pack and get ready for his trip out of the, you know, off to camp upstate.
Camp Australia, I think, is where he's going. And they say they're going to send him probably to Australia or someplace. Jared certainly took it very well. That kid's gone through all that. It's like, where are they going to send me?
He really is. He's like numb. He's just kind of like, whatever. This is just so bizarre. And he's so emo goth with his hair over like one eye.
You know what? He's an ideal candidate to become an assassin for the CIA.
Oh, totally.
He could be John Cusack in a few years.
He'll get turned to the KGB.
Sure. Yeah, we're gonna direct you to the men that took out your parents.
So those were the big things that happened here, and then with the last one we've got is
the big thing that happened is Stan, who we all said no, there's no way that Stan would ever turn, but lo and behold,
Stan got checkmated this episode.
He did. I feel sorry for him. His wife said, "I'm going to leave, go live with another guy."
Yep.
Now, what happens to their son? Not that he's ever a factor in this series, anyway. He's always off with somebody's friend. I mean, will Stan be in charge of watching over him?
Again, poor Stan. Hey, buddy, look, I got this from the locker, you know, from evidence locker. It's Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know, that he dressed up for in season one. Yeah. And then he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, great. And I thought he was going to take a look at it. It looked like it was Betamax, too, on top of that.
I swear to God, it was a beta tape.
It was. I thought he was going to be like, thanks, Dad, it's beta.
Yeah.
Which would have been a double insult.
Maybe that was a joke that was in it that they just didn't do it because only two people would have gotten it. He could have brought home a laser disc.
Look what I got.
A legal recording of a laser disc.
The first time Laserdisc came out, I took one out. Jaws. I took it out from the library. I put it home, and I put it on a record player.
Yes! I think my brother was working at a construction site and came home with a bunch of Laserdiscs, and I'm like, what are these? I put it on the record player. It just... I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound good at all.
Like, this band sucks.
What is this? What's a record?
Oh, it's a Laserdisc.
What is that? What does that mean?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so the beta Rocky Horror Picture Show, and then he just kind of looks at Dad like, thanks, Dad, you're like a season and a half late.
Now, there's the thing about that beta, that where did he get a copy of that? Because it wasn't on VHS, it didn't come on VHS until the 90s. I remember when it came on VHS finally.
What, Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, it didn't come out on VHS
until... Did you catch an inaccuracy in the...
Well, no, that was a copy of something that they recorded. Now, that might be something that they recorded it a bootleg.
Oh, bootleg, yeah.
Because that, I remember when that came out on VHS, that came on videotape in the early 90s. I had, you know, because that, at that point, there was no good reason to put that movie on VHS, because they made all their money off of screenings, at midnight screenings.
Huh. That is interesting. I didn't know.
That's how that movie became a cult hit.
Well, right, I knew that, but I didn't realize that they didn't. It wasn't until the 90s that they videotaped.
Yeah, it was. Because I had it may have been 89. It had to be 90, 89 or 90, because I was living in a dorm still at college. So it was either 89 or 90. And I remember because I had friends who were huge. Like there was a small independent. Movie theater in Bowling Green when I went to college, and they would do the Rocky Horror Show. I think it was Friday nights, which was great that they did it, which is cool. I never went to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Jeff. Not once.
I did once. I dated a girl, and yeah, we did it.
Did you dress up?
No, I just went to watch.
You didn't put on. You didn't dress up, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't dress up.
You put on garters.
No.
Oh, didn't you? Admit it. You dressed up like Tim Curry.
No.
Frankenfurter.
No, I went to that, and I was kind of like, I can't believe people, and they were into it, and people, in all honesty, Rocky Horror Picture Show never really did anything for me.
You just said it. We just lost all our listeners. We lost our 10 listeners. You screwed us, Jeff. Oh, man. Now there's nothing to talk about. We just lost everyone. just
Come on, there's got to be one or two.
Okay, give us a call if you're listening right now. Give us a call on the Comrades Hotline. That's 1-555-555-5555. No. For those of you who don't know, 555 is always the fake phone number that they use in TV shows, which always amazes me when I see like a real phone. What? Sorry.
You were right. November 8th, 1990, Rocky Horror Picture released on VHS.
You believe me.
No, I do believe you. I'm just backing you up. For the first time, for a retail price of... $89.95.
I know people that bought it. Oh man! That's how much VHS tapes used to cost, dude.
Yeah, no, when they came out, they were ridiculous.
Because they were sold for rental. People didn't buy VHS tapes back then. They were strictly a rental thing. So, they could sell it to a store for $89.99. The store would buy it, and then they'd rent it out over the course of a year, and that would pay back the price of it. This is all my video store knowledge coming back to me.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, so it came out of VHS in 1990, which was the 15th anniversary.
No, there
then
you
in
go.
93, it had its U.S. broadcast TV premiere on Fox.
Ooh.
Interesting.
And when did it get the DVD release?
Let's see, Laserdisc.
Ooh, release. Careful there.
Yeah. Oops, little Freudian. The laser thingy came out later in 1990. The box CD set came out in 97. Special edition VHS in 98. One disc version of Rocky Horror Picture Show DVD released. In 2002, and it says that the two-disc version went out of... Oh, 2000. Released on a two-disc DVD in the U.S.
Excellent. Thank you for the history of the home video release of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
If you want to sound smarter, people, at the water cooler... Do you want to win a trivia contest?
You know, Normie, when
you know,
Rocky Horror Picture Show
well
came out
fact that,
in November of 1989, oh, I'm sorry, I was up by 1 year. So Stan is setting in motions to betray his country. Stan has been screwed.
But he goes out and buys, I mean, you got to feel
buys
for that.
Buys a car.
Guy
I
goes
love
out buys
that
a girl a
transaction.
Car. Yeah.
I love that transaction, too. Well, you could get the cheaper car for your niece, but this better car would be better. I don't have time to fill out all the paperwork right now. Can I do it later? I can work with that. Like, yeah. Okay.
If I had a niece, this is the car I'd get for her.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, Stan.
So when you
I wanted him to be the hero. I was holding out for that hero.
She's hardcore though. I mean, she took a beating for appearances' sake. Now, so. And we know, we had a feeling that when we saw her on the floor and she'd been beaten up, we knew that that was just for show. That's, you know, the game, the process that she allowed to happen. So they've got him, they've got Stan, he's got to go get Echo and bring it in.
Well, now, hold on there. Now, she's watched under lock and key now, though. Now she's got guards outside her door.
Right.
So she was beat, but I think that she's now... The clock is ticking for her.
Well, didn't you think it was interesting when Oleg comes in and basically gave her cash? Like, was that just like – I didn't take that was for, hey, this is for your pain. That was get out of Dodge money.
Right, and I totally thought that that's what it was. It's like, run. That's what you know what to do. You know,
exactly.
You know what to do. Run. My only question about that is – how is she going to do that? She's got guards outside her door.
Stan? She's got to go to Stan to help? Now she's...
Yeah, but how is she going to go to Stan? Because she has guards watching her every move.
She tells Stan that, hey, I've got guards that are watching my every move, and you got to...
But she can't communicate with them. Oh...
There's got to be a way. There's got to be.
I'm sure they thought of it. These writers are really smart. They're not like the writers of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
You sound bitter.
I'm just mad about that damn movie, man. My son and I had a really good time, and we really liked some parts of that. Some parts of that movie are so well done, and some parts are just infuriating. And I'll stop harping on it. I'm very sorry. This is about comrades. I mean, the Americans.
Yeah. So the scene with Arcady or with Oleg, between that one and the preview next week, where we see Philip talk to Arcady and he says, "My family and I, we're done."
Yeah,
that was a holy crap moment for me. Both of those were holy crap moments. Like when he gives all that cash to Nina, and he, you know, kind of shushes her because, you know, there's people listening and there's stuff listening. And his eyes get a little wet and teary, and I was like, "Holy cow! He just gave her get out of Dodge money."
Yeah,
that was a big moment.
No, that was pretty cool. I, like I said, Oleg is a cool character. I don't know. The preview for next week seems to lead me to believe that Grandma will be back next week.
Yeah, Margo's coming back.
I thought she was out of the country. That hasn't been fully explained to me, so. Let's talk about what we think. I'm curious to see what happens in the coming episode. Because if Philip and Elizabeth say, we're leaving, if that scene were to happen, they have already left. Don't you think? They've already packed and they're already gone. Only because if you say, oh, we're leaving, and you walk away, the next thing you know, there's going to be guys parked outside the house about to whisk you away back to Mother Russia.
Unless we only got a snippet of a conversation where Arcady says, we want you to do X and Y and Z, and Philip puts up resistance and basically says, and as a part of that conversation, you know, if you make us do this... And then they just snipped out the part that says, then we're out of here. You know,
then we're done.
Then we're done. So maybe it's part of a bigger conversation. You know, I always laugh. We mentioned Mad Men before we started podcasting. And my wife and I, we love Mad Men. But she always laughs at me, watches my face intently when the show is over and they show the previews for the next week.
Yeah.
Because they are the most useless previews I've ever seen
just
in a show.
They pull a snippet like...
Like a guy walks in the door, he's like, "Hey!" And then it's Sterling going, "Want a drink?" And then
it's like, "I can't believe you said that."
and he's doing a pitch.
Yeah.
And then she says, I can't believe you said that.
It's the most ridiculous previews. But these previews for next week look pretty intense.
Well, the previews that these guys have done for this show have never been deceptive like Mad Men. So
right, but it also makes logical sense too that Philip, either of them, well, mostly Philip, is at that point where
He was at that point at the beginning of the show. That's the one thing that they started off with in the pilot, where he says, "Why would it be so bad to stay?" And they've kind of backed away from that a little bit. He hasn't been that guy as much. So they've kind of brought him back to that. And they've kind of brought, they kind of brought him back to that.
What if Philip decides... Philip and Elizabeth, Philip pleads his case, and it's like, we're out of here. They're going to get too close. Laird's going to get too close to wiping their family out, okay? And that's going to, and the Russians, what do they call the center? The center's not going to be anywhere near to protect them, and so they're almost going to get terminated. And this is going to annoy Philip. Philip's already getting annoyed with how the center's run anyway and the incompetence that he saw in Kate. So... if he says, we're out of here, Elizabeth is going to fight him. Elizabeth's going to be like, no, we still got the cause, and there's this, and, my pioneer pin, and blah, blah, blah. So, was actually Nina, but still.
That was, come on, dude. You're getting all the facts screwed up.
But
just kidding.
So what if Philip at some point decides, I'm taking the kids, and then he goes off? So he's like, it basically gives Elizabeth an ultimatum. Either you come with me and the kids and we're out of here, or I'm taking the kids and I'm going.
I like it.
And that's how season three ends.
Now season two.
No, season three. Because they got to build up to that. I'm prognosticating farther out.
Right. Okay. All right. That's either that or they. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we got to make it. It's the odds that Larrick makes it through the season finale for season two.
My prediction. I say are an 8. I'm going with an 8. I think that he's going to stick around.
He's got an 80% chance of getting out of here. Of making it through.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think they got to put him down. I think they've got to reach a conclusion with him because he's too much of a wild card to be out there.
Yeah, but they've created such a great villain.
I know, and I will cry. I will. And it'll make me sad if they kill him, but I think they do. I mean, it would be cool to kind of if he just kind of disappears and then rears his head sometime halfway through next season.
Hey, what is the Echo thing, by the way, that Stan's going to steal?
Echo is the it's the paint thing.
No, that's what Fred's gonna get. That's the paint for the stealth.
Yeah, but I thought Echo was the same thing. Oh, Echo's the computer program that allows them to fabricate the fuselage and stuff.
Fabricate. All right, I'm confused. What does that mean?
So it allows them to remember what was his name? The guy who's they whisk back to
yes,
Russia. He says that they need a computer program to help them create all the angles and stuff around the plane. Change the fuselage and stuff.
Got it. They need
Echo. Echo is the computer program that they need.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. That's fantastic. And that's what Stan's going to steal.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. He goes into Gad, and he's like, yeah, so I got to find this Echo thing. Ah, computers, they mystify me. And Gad just kind of passes up. He's like, yeah, they mystify me too. And Stan's just kind of saying, like, yeah, needed a little bit more than that, but thanks.
Yeah. And then he adds to it. Stan only almost gives himself away. Yeah, so I'm just going to say Echo again so that you remember that I've said Echo, so that when it gets stolen, you come after me, because I'm going to say Echo one more time.
So later on, when he's when Stan's walking with the guy, the defense guy.
Yes.
And they're walking down the corridor. And as they come walking down the corridor, there was a second.
There's where a the guy camera, passes him.
Yes, and like bumps him, gives him a shoulder bump.
What
and
was that about?
I thought that that was going to be that other dude that was, what's his name? The Zodiac Killer.
Who's, Zodiac, John Carroll Lynch.
Yeah.
Fred.
Yeah, Fred. I thought that was going to be Fred, and that was a moment where they were both like.
They certainly did make a big deal about that guy passing him, didn't they?
They did, right? Yeah, because you had that low shot of his shoes. And then there was the shoulder brush.
Yeah.
I thought it was totally. I thought that we were going to finish with Stan, and the camera's going to switch POV, and we were going to see Fred walking out the other door.
I think the director is just trying to be artsy. That would be director Andrew Bernstein, who directed this episode. In case we didn't mention that before, but we didn't mention that before. He was the assistant director on Little Big League, 12 Monkeys, Eraser, and Batman and Robin. I will not hold the
Batman and Robin
last two. I worked on Batman and Robin.
Did you really?
I worked for the special effects company that did a lot of the fake dead people that were frozen, the frozen people.
Yep.
Rick Baker's shop did some of them, and then Alterian Studios, we did like a bunch of the background people. We did about 8 or 9 background people. They were immaculate. They looked so real. It was fantastic. And we also did...
do you have one in your house? Did you get to keep one?
No, they're made out of silicone, so I don't think they exist anymore. We also did the Poison Ivy's... she's got that thing that she's sitting in, that kind of Venus flytrap thing that she's revealed. Yeah, we did that too. Pretty cool. I went on that set. I was on that set for exactly a half hour.
For those of you who are listening to this and are big fans of Scott Malkus, one of the things that I'm a big that I always tell people about when I talk about him and as my writing partner is I mentioned that he was the special effects supervisor on There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, that's not exactly true. That's what they gave me credit for.
It's what it says in the credits, man.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I'm not going to deny it. Someday I'll tell you the real story behind that. I did work on that movie extensively. I was a project coordinator for the shot, but the credits got all screwy. I remember the cast and crew screening. I was sitting next to the guy that was on set, who was the on-set effects guy for Alterian, the company I worked for.
Yeah.
He was sitting next to me, and this was his big thing. This was his big thing that we sent him to set to shoot everything, and he was there the whole time. And my name gets in the credits as that, and his name wasn't there. Oh, it was awful. It was so awful. And then they did this special like DVD release of the movie, like a 10-year anniversary movie.
Yeah,
and. They put me as like some kind of special effects supervisor, like you said. And I'm like, I swear on the Bible, Jeff. I never tried to call my interaction with them was strictly I was the guy at the shop they talked to. I was the guy that interlaid all the messages, you know, when they had the ball and the zipper thing. I was the one who sent them the photos. I took their notes and went back to the shop and said, you know, hey, too much skin here. Use this one. You know, I was that guy. I mean, I was the coordinator. That's what my job was. You know, I did a good job. But I don't know how that got mixed up in PR. I don't know. I swear on the Bible. And to this day, I mean, I feel bad about it because I know that there are guys that probably think that I vied for. You know, to the credit of Tony, who was my boss, Tony Gardner, who is a genius of makeup effects, who he's the guy, you know, he just did Katy Perry's new video, Birthday, had her dress up as, you know, I don't know, check it out, Katy Perry, Birthday. She's does like 4 different things. She's an old woman. She's a guy. He did the Jackass movies. To Tony's credit, he laughed it off because he knew that I would never do something like that. And so when he got that DVD, he actually sent me an email. It's like, hey, you're the special effects supervisor on that movie. I was like, what? And I was mortified. And then I ran out and got the DVD. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he just laughed about it. He was like, I know you wouldn't do that. To his credit, I mean, I just to this day, it's just like, it's, you know, I'm so proud that I worked on that movie because I worked hard on that movie. But, you know, somebody in 20th Century Fox screwed up a little bit. And, yeah.
All right.
Sorry. I could be out there taking credit for it, but that would be just wrong. I'm not going to. You know, there were guys, I know the guys that worked on it. They worked hard. So. Paul Salamoff. That's what the guy's name was. Paul Salamoff. Paul, I'm very sorry that you didn't get your credit. It's something about Mary. There you go.
All right.
I don't think he's listening. But anyway.
All right. So, one episode to go.
One episode to go. I'm really excited. I'm going to be sad because I'm going to have to wait another year for the show to come.
I know. Back. Dude, it's tough, man. This is going to end. I have to wait 2 weeks before Game of Thrones comes back because it's a holiday weekend.
What?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Are you kidding?
Nope, 2 weeks. Veep, too. 2 weeks.
I didn't know that.
And wow, there's only three episodes left of Game of Thrones.
I'm really good. Wow.
It's like the summer doldrums. What am I going to do? Watch baseball?
I don't know. I'm thinking of getting rid of my cable for the summer.
That's probably a good idea, actually.
I might get rid of it for good.
Oh, you're going to be a cord cutter.
I don't know. Thinking about it.
Well, AT&T is going to buy your DirecTV, so.
I know. And that's, to me, it's like, I don't want to. I had experiences with AT&T in the past. I don't like AT&T. Unless they're a proud sponsor of Southgate Media, which is, I love AT&T.
All right. So, should you.
Oh, do we have crew members of the week, Jeff?
We do have random crew members of the week.
Well, do tell us who they are.
All right. Our first one is Ruby De, I'm going to say Jesus, because I don't think it's Jesus. Ruby De Jesus? De Jesus?
Ruby De Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to botch your name in a song. Okay, Jeff, tell us what her role is.
All right, so Ruby did the props, or is one of the people did props.
You have you're really a fan of the prop and the set decorators this season, aren't you?
Yeah, you've man. I mean, there's... They're props? Unsung heroes.
Props, the props.
Yeah. She was set dresser for a lot of TV shows. The Following, Elementary, Blacklist, Orange is the New Black, Boardwalk Empire.
Wow.
And set dresser for Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Pause. Really dying here.
Sorry, so. We're almost done. Okay. All right. Our next
did you say that Ruby worked on Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Amazing Spider-Man 2, yes.
I won't hold it against
you. James David.
I had a good time with my son, by the way.
What's that?
I did have a good time with that movie with Jake.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Good memories.
Okay, James who?
James David Redding III.
Ooh, James David Redding III. Mr. James David Redding III. Okay, I shouldn't make fun of the guy's name. Okay.
Sound re-recording mixer. What is that?
Well, if I'm correct, that would be. I'm gonna go on a limb here, and re-recording is either usually something in post, usually, and it's usually either ADR or it is like sound effects and stuff like that that you're adding in post.
Okay,
and you're mixing it.
Okay. So he was the did one. I think there were a couple, but he did sound re-recording mixer. He did 50 episodes of 30 Rock.
Nice.
He was the sound effects editor. He also did Mildred Pierce, Damages, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And yeah,
that you said sound effects editor leads me to believe to go back to that he's working like in post sound mixing.
Okay.
He's not doing like ADR. He's doing like if he's doing sound effects editing, he's working with in that area, which is taking all of the elements that are being given to you, like here's the car crashes and the sound effects, and you're putting it all together and then mixing the audio and making it all sound what will end up being the final picture.
Okay. So his resume goes all the way back to 2001, where he did Wingspan, which I wonder if you'd seen. It was about Paul McCartney's post-Beatles musical
career. Oh, I remember that movie. I never got to see that. I always wanted to. I would always look for it on video. I love Wings. I have the Wingspan 2-disc CD set, in fact. But that thing only aired on ABC once.
Huh.
Jerks. Paul McCartney. Probably waiting to put it out on his own label now.
All right, last one I got is Frank.
La 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 Linda. That's a Wings song. Right. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go.
Frank Schumo. Frank. Dolly Grip.
Oh, yeah. The Dolly Grip.
He's done work on Gossip Girl, Boardwalk Empire, White Collar, and going all the way back to Bone Collector in 1999.
Ooh, is that the movie with Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington? Yes. Well, all right.
All right.
All right. Well, this has been a splendid hour, Jeff. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Always a pleasure.
You're one of the most enjoyable person to have a conversation with, especially about FX series The Americans.
And we only get to do it one more time before we go on hiatus.
I know. I'm so sad. Well, before we end, I have to say that I am an employee of Cartoon Network. Scott Malk is an employee of Cartoon Network, the Turner Broadcasting System. And the opinions expressed here are my own and do not reflect those of my parent company. Jeff, tell us about your comic books, because I talked all about that book thing that I'm doing. I want to know about your comic books.
So I've got two comic books that I write. One is Z-Girl and the Four Tigers, about a special ops team led by monster hunting special ops team led by a female zombie, drawn by the incomparable Kirk Manley.
Sounds such a cool idea. It could be a movie.
It could be. We would love for it to be a movie or a cartoon. If you like Hellboy or you like BPRD that Dark Horse Comics does, you'll dig Z-Girl and the Four Tigers.
Yeah.
You can check us out at zgirl.org. And then my other one is a noir thriller about a hitman at the top of his game who ends up putting a contract out on himself. Why, you ask? Well,
why, Jeff? Tell us why.
You're going to have to read the first issue to find
out. Oh, you're so mean.
You can check that out at deadmansparty.org.
Awesome. And both of those are great comics. They're exciting and fun, well-written, and fanboys should be all over.
Hopefully.
Are you going to have any conventions coming up?
June. June, we're at the Javits Center. I think it's the 14th and 15th. They have a special New York Comic Con.
Is that new?
Summer. Yeah, it's a new one. Because the real New York one happens in October.
I'm from the West Coast, so I have no idea what the Javits Center is.
Oh, that's right. You don't know what the Javits Center is.
Do you know what Staples Center is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a big arena. Do you know what the Forum is?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. I just want to make sure that there's something that you haven't heard of. So knowledgeable.
Yeah. So anybody who's not from New York, the Javits Center is the big expo center up here where they do Comic-Con every year.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's where we'll be. June 14th and 15th. June 14th and 15th.
You got a booth?
Yes, we have a booth. We got both Z-Girl and Dead Man's Party.
Oh, so you got two booths?
Yep.
Are they next to each other?
Yep.
That'd be kind of inconvenient if you had to run across the convention center platform.
Yeah, trust me. Running two books and having two booths, trying to do the logistics of it, make sure both tables are together so I can be the carnival barker for both of them is pretty tough.
But you're a hustler, man. That's what I love about you.
Hey, I try.
You get the stuff in the hands of people. It's impressive. I'm really impressed, Jeff. You are a good guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Marchick is a good guy. And you should go see him at this comic convention. And you should buy his comic books.
You should buy all of them.
I guess they could buy every single one, but then you won't have any to sell. But you know who else is a good guy, Jeff? You know who else are good people? Our friends at Southgate Media.
That's right.
And you know what, people? You listen to the site. We have some advertisers that work with us on the Southgate Media website. And you can check out their links and buy some cool shirts or buy some cool stuff. You know, help support Southgate Media, right?
And check out all the other podcasts that they do over there. Let's see, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended, I think, because that show's done for now. But Game of Thrones is still on.
Biters, is that still going on?
We do one. We're going to do one in June. We'll do one a month until Walking Dead comes back.
Awesome.
Check out all the podcasts over there.
And if you're listening to us on Poptos, We also have, you know, advertisers that advertise on our webpage, and also please check out, you know, the other great writing that goes on the site. There's film reviews, there's a lot of music critiquing, and a lot of thoughtful commentary that goes on PopDose.
Yeah, they've got a really good TV editor over there too.
I have to admit that I've been a little lax these past weeks, but yeah, I'm working on it. And on that note, I think we'll draw to a close.
Check us out on Facebook page and leave comments, critiques, suggestions, and we'll see everybody here next week for the finale.
The finale. All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, bye.